church, we say, put your hands together for the Lord as you sit down. Greet somebody by your side and say good morning. Greet your neighbor with a smile. Oh, don't frown your face. No matter what, don't frown your face. The Bible says, our God have not called us in vain. He has not called the house of Jacob in vain. And this morning, the Lord will meet your expectations in the name of Jesus Christ. Brethren, for the few minutes that we have, we want to quickly look at something very important as the year is running to an end, and as we are hoping and looking forward to a new year. And I believe, by the special grace of God, that the Lord will make us to see that year in joy, in peace, in love, in the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, this morning we are looking at something very, very important that will help us in our journey. Something that is not new. We are just calling ourselves to remembrance. I'm not going to speak on something that is new. No. All we are trying to do is to bring ourselves to remembrance of things that we need to what? To know. And as you pay attention and listen, this morning the Lord will bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. Please, let's quickly look at something in the book of Daniel chapter 3, from verse 16. Daniel chapter 3 from verse 16 to 18. Quickly, Daniel chapter 3 from verse 16 to 18. Now, look at these three Hebrew men. Shadrach, Meshach, and what? Abednego answered and said to the what? To the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Verse 17. You see? If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver. To deliver what? To deliver us. This morning, the Lord that we serve will deliver you. He will deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy what? Thine hand, O King. The Lord will deliver us from the hands of our enemies in the name of Jesus Christ. But if not, be it known unto thee. Look at courage. Look at faith. Look at men that understood what they stand for. O King, that we will not serve thy what? Say it now, church. We will not serve thy what? Thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. So this morning, we if you look at that scripture very well, you will see that it goes beyond, what is it called? Just boldness. No, these people, there is something in their heart. There is a revelation that they know. There is something that is moving them for you to be able to stand in front of a person who has the power to cut off your neck. A person who is ready to kill you. A person, it is very easy here in the western part of Nigeria here to say that I stand for Jesus, I vote for Jesus. But if you are in the northern part of Nigeria where they can put, a dagger or AK-47 on your brain on your skull, and they are telling you, will you still stand for Jesus? Then you will understand what these three men actually went through. So we should give thanks to God for here, for where we are. People in the northern part of Nigeria, they are facing, they understand better what Shadrach, Meshach, and what Abednego went through. But when you have not seen the problem, when you have not seen anything, you can stand for Jesus. You can vote for Jesus. But the courage to stand to the end, the Lord will give it unto us in Jesus' name. So this morning, briefly, we shall be looking at the faith of the contenders. The faith of the contenders. Can we all say that, please? Oh, say it louder. Say it as a contender. Say that. The faith of the contenders. So briefly, let's look at what is this faith of the contenders. Like the scripture we read before in the book of Daniel chapter 3 that we read from 16 to 18, there we are able to see three contenders who we are standing And they are what? They are defending what they believe in. That they are not even careful. If the king is going to kill them, they don't care. So what makes people to stand in the time of difficulties, in the time of problem, is what is known as what? Faith, revelation. It goes beyond just ordinary boldness. What we make a believer to still confess Jesus when he's in the presence of someone who is ready to kill him goes beyond just boldness. And that is what keeps you going when the problem is there, is what is known as what? As the faith, the revelation you have in him. In every generation, God's people are called not to just believe the truth, but towards. We are called to defend it. Tell your neighbor, you are called to defend the faith. In Jude chapter 1 and verse 3, the apostle Jude earnestly urges believers, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the words of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should what? How? Earnestly contend, earnestly defend, contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Don't forget the faith of the what? The faith of the contenders. We are called to defend the faith. We are called to stand for the faith. Let's continue. This verse reminds us that our Christian faith is a precious what? Treasure. When something is precious, you will know that you have to keep it. You have to guide it. One handed down from the apostles, rooted in the truth of God's word, and centered on Christ Jesus. The faith we are to defend, the faith we are called upon to contend for, is the faith that is centered on no other person than the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord will give us the grace to contend and to defend that faith to the end in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's continue. Let's see. However, this faith is constantly challenged by false teachings. The faith that we are called upon to defend for is a faith that is always constantly challenged. Worldly influences challenges it. And spiritual compromise. To contend for the faith means to stand what? Firm. To speak the truth in love. And to live in obedience to God's word. Even when it is what? Unpopular. The faith we are called to defend is known as unpopular faith. It's no longer the faith that people are after anymore. If you look outside here, the faith that people want now is the faith that it doesn't matter. It's the faith that everybody loves. It doesn't matter. But the faith we are asked to contend for is the faith that is not what? It's no longer popular. As we study this topic, we learn that what it means to be a true or a wise contender, not fighting with anger or pride, but defending the truth of the gospel with what? Conviction. You are to defend the truth with conviction. You are to defend the truth with courage and what? And compassion. God is calling each of us to be faithful guardians of the truth in our time. The Lord will give us the grace to faithfully guide the faith to the end in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's move on. Our focus, what we are actually going to achieve after this study, is to understand the kind of faith believers must defend and the types of contenders God expects us towards to be. These are two major things we are going to look at. The kind of faith God expects us to contend for. And number two, the kind of contenders God wants us to what? To be. We shall be looking at the studies briefly under the following headings. A, which faith are we to contend for? Because if you don't know the faith to contend for, you will not know whether you are even contending for it rightly or wrongly. Number B, why contending for the faith? After you have known it, why must you contend for it? And number C, we will be looking at Who are the faith contenders? And the faith contenders is no different from any other person than you and I. We are called upon to contend for the faith. And then the last one we shall be looking at is how to contend for the what? For the faith. The Lord will help us to go through these things and give us the understanding to understand them, to know them better in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Briefly, which faith are we to what? To contend for. Which faith are we to contend for? Now, let's. The faith refers to not just believing. The faith we are to contend for is not just believing, but the revelation the individuals have concerning what Christ did for the salvation of mankind on the cross of Calvary and his teachings, which were handed down by the apostles to the saints. So when we talk about the faith of the contenders, we are talking about not just any kind of belief. No. We are looking at the faith that one will keep on going, even when the going is what? Is tough. You will keep on going, irrespective of the problems or the challenges that may come your way. That's the faith we are looking at. The true gospel of salvation through Jesus Christ. It is the faith that you don't join by confession, but you must be born into it before you can truly defend or contend for it. Now, the faith we are to contend for, brethren, you don't join that faith. You are to be born into it. If you are not born into that faith, you cannot truly contend for it. Let's see 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13. You have to be born into it before you can contend for that faith. You have to be born. For by one spirit are we all what? Can you read it louder? Baptized into the body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one word, one spirit. So the faith we are talking about, you cannot contend for that faith by joining. You can't contend for that faith by merely confession. Mouth confession cannot make you to contend for it. You have to be born into that faith before you can be able to what? To contend for that faith. So it is the faith that is only good for those who are born again. If you are not born into Christ, you cannot contend for that faith. Let's see Genesis 51 to 6 quickly. Genesis 51 to 6 quickly. And then John 3, 14 to 16. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." And Abram said, "Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go what? Childless, and the steward of thy house is this Eliezer of what? Of Damascus." And Abram said, "Behold, to me thou hast given no seed." So Abram has been following God, but he has no seed, he has no child. "And lo, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thy word, thy heir. The one that was born by your servant shall not be your heir. But what shall be? Saying, this shall not be thy heir, but he that shall come forth out of thy own bowels shall be thy own." And he brought him forth abroad and said, "Look now towards heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them." And he said unto him, "So shall thy what? Seed." Take note, singular. Seed, what? Be. And he believed in the Lord. He believed that God is going to give him seed. Don't forget, seed. That seed, as we have come to understand, is who? Who is that seed? The Lord Jesus Christ is that seed. And he believed in the Lord. Abraham believed in that gospel. And he counted it to him for what? For righteousness, because he believed that God is going to give him a seed through which he's going to save his own people. Let's look at that seed. The seed that God promised to Abraham. In John chapter 3 from 14 to 16, the faith that we need to contend for. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness," that is the seed that God promised to who? to Abraham, now speaking in the wilderness. Even so must the Son of Man be what? Be lifted up. Then verse 15. That whosoever believe in him should not what? Perish, but have eternal life. That is the seed. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Only begotten Son. His only seed. The true seed of God is who? The Lord Jesus Christ. That whosoever believe in him should not what? Perish, but have everlasting life. And that seed of God has produced many of us that are here now. We are all now children of what? Of God. Because we have faith in that seed. We have faith in that seed. Let's move on quickly. Let's move on and see the faith that we need to contend for. Let's look at the faith. Number one, the faith that we need to contend for is the faith that reveals the lordship of Jesus Christ. If there is any faith that you need to contend for, it is no other faith than the faith that reveals who? That the Lord Jesus Christ is what? Is the Lord of heaven and the earth. Let's look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 to 11. That's the faith that reveals the lordship. Wherefore, God also has highly what? Exalted him and given him a name which is what? Above every name. That at the name of who? Of Jesus, every knee should what? Should bow of the things in heaven and the things what? In earth and the things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus is what? Oh, say Jesus is what? The faith that recognizes that Jesus is the Lord. That's the faith you need to contend for. To the glory of God, the what? The Father. That is the faith. Take note. That is the faith that you and I are called upon to contend for. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20 to 23. The faith that recognizes Jesus as the Lord of heaven and the earth. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him up from the dead and set him at his right hand in the heavenly where? Places. Where is Christ now? Christ is seated where? In the heavenly places. Far above what? Principality and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is towards to come. That is the faith you are asked to contend for. That is the faith. The faith that recognizes Jesus. And verse 22, and has put all things under where? Under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the world. To the church. That is the faith. He's the head, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. The Lord will help us as we go on in the name of Jesus Christ. The faith we are to contend for is the faith that reveals salvation by grace through faith, not works. Take note. That's another thing. It's the faith that reveals salvation by what? By grace, not by works. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Some believe that they can achieve salvation by doing one thing or the other. But the faith, for by grace are ye what? Saved. Through what? Through faith. And that not of yourself, it is the gift of who? Of God. Not of what? Oh, not of what? No, there is nothing you can do that can bring you, that can make you to be saved. Nothing, no work, nothing you can do. Not of works. Prayer is good, but prayer cannot give you salvation. Fasting is very good, but you cannot be saved by fasting. Not of works. Lest any man should what? Should boast. You say, I know how many years I was able to fast before the Lord saved me. No, you have not seen, you have not been saved anyway. You can still boast of the number of years you fasted, you are not yet saved. Because you are saved by what? By grace, not by works. Another thing is, you look at it in the book of Titus, chapter 3 and verse 5 to 6, quickly. Not by works, by works of what? Righteousness, which we have done. We are not saved by the work of righteousness which we have done, but according to his words, his mercy, he saved us by the washing of what? Regeneration and renewing of the what? Holy Ghost, not by work, which he has shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. The Lord will help us to understand these things in Jesus' name. It is the faith that reveals our Father's faith to us. The faith we are to contend for is the faith that reveals the faith of the fathers to us. What am I saying? It is the faith of Abraham. We are called upon to contend for the faith of Abraham. The same faith of Abraham was the faith of Isaac. The same faith of Isaac was the same faith of who? Of Jacob. That is the faith we are called upon to what? To contend for. So in other words, we are called upon to contend for the faith of our fathers. Galatians chapter 3, verse 6 to 9. Galatians chapter 3, verse 6 to 9. Let's look at it. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for what? For righteousness. He believed God that God is going to give him what? A seed. Know ye not therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of what? Abraham. Verse 8. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, the Gentiles, you and I, through faith, preached before the gospel unto who? Abraham, saying, indeed shall all the nations be what? Be blessed. We are blessed by believing the seed of God that was promised to who? To Abraham. And who is that seed? Oh, if you know him, what is his name? The Lord Jesus Christ. So then, they which be of faith are blessed. You and I, we are blessed. Say to yourself, I am blessed. With the faithful words, Abraham. Let's move on. It is the faith that was built on the apostolic and the prophetic words. Foundation. That is the faith that we are called upon to contend for. Every contendant who is contending without contending for the faith that was what? Given to the apostles and the prophet, he is not contending right. Every faithful contendant, we always contend for the faith which foundation was built on the apostolic and the what? And the prophet foundation. Let's see Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20. That's the faith that we are called. And are built upon the foundation of who? Of the apostles and the prophet. Jesus Christ himself being the what? The chief cornerstone. That is the faith that we are called upon to contend for. Any other thing you are contending for that is not built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophet, you are only contending in flesh. And it cannot pay you. Which faith are we to contend for? It is the faith that begins with Jesus and ends with him. That is the faith. The faith that begins with who? With the Lord Jesus Christ and ends with him. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we all are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto who? Say it louder. The author and the finisher of what? Of our faith. That is the faith of the contendants. Is the faith that believes in Jesus as the author and the finisher. Who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. For the joy that was set before him, he endured. It is the faith that you have to endure. He endured, despising the shame, and is set at the right hand of what? Of the throne of God. That is the faith that we are called upon to contend for. It is the faith that begins and ends with Christ. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8. The faith of the contenders. The faith. I am Alpha and what? Omega. What's the meaning? I am the beginning of your faith and I am the what? The end. The beginning and the ending, says the Lord, which is and which was, which is to come, the words, the Almighty. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. Put your hands together for him, church. That's the faith. That's the faith. It is the faith that begins with him and ends with him. And now, look at, it is the faith that was and is most persecuted in the history of human what? Existence. If you want to ask me, which faith has been persecuted among all the religions and all the faiths in this earth. There is no faith that has been persecuted like the faith of those that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. No faith. No faith has suffered the persecution that Christians have suffered. If you know of anyone, please, you can easily put up your hand and let me see. If you know of any faith that have suffered the persecutions that Christians have suffered in the history of humanity, if you know of any other faith, please, you are free to stand up and say, I know of this faith that you have suffered. No, none, none. There is none. No faith. So it is the faith which has suffered persecution and they are still suffering. Go to the north and see how they are killing Christians. Do you think they are killing them for fun? They are killing them because of their what? Why are they killing them? Faith. Because of what they believe for. Because of their stand. They are killing every day. They are killing them because of what they believe, because of what they stand for. So it is the faith that have suffered the gruesome persecution from in the ages. Genesis chapter 4, this thing began from the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 4, let's look at verse 1 to 8 quickly. And Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain. Look at it, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Verse 2. And she again bare his brother, Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the what? Of the ground. Verse 3. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of ground an offering unto the Lord. Cain brought an offering. He wanted to make a sacrifice unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of his what? Firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his what? His offering. But unto Cain and his offering, he had no words. No respect. Now, if God does not have respect to someone, it means there is something is wrong somewhere. Now, and Cain was very what? Wroth. And his countenance what? Fair. Verse 6. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou what? Wroth. And why is thy countenance falling? Verse 7. If thou doest well, that is, if you do what your brother have what? Have done. What did the brother did? The brother offered a sacrifice to God by what? By what? Faith. By faith. It will be accepted. If thou doest not well, sin lieth at thy door. And unto thee shall his desire be, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with his what? With Abel, his brother. You see? He was angry. Instead of... Now, you look at some people, they fight. Instead of them to go and look at what am I supposed to do, they will begin to fight. What do you think make one that we are together in the same land and we call ourselves Christians, and then one will bring tractor and bulldozers to come and destroy one person's work? Why do you think one will be angry because of the other? Because he was angry because his sacrifices and his offerings were not by words, by faith. He was angry. So those who make sacrifices or make offerings to God without faith, they are always jealous, they are always angry of their fellow brothers. They are always angry. So he was angry because his offerings were not by faith. And let's continue and see the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. Yeah, and all that will live godly in what? In Christ shall suffer what? Persecution. That is the faith. That is the faith. Please, it is not the faith of bread and what? And butter. It is the faith that you will go through things. It is the faith that you will suffer. It's a sure thing. See, please, if I tell you that this faith, once you start it, everything is going to be good. No. Those who are promising you that it is well, that is not the faith that will take you to heaven. It is well. It doesn't matter. Cannot take you to what? To anywhere. The faith that you are asked to contend for is the faith that once you sign in for it, you sign in to suffer for a while. I'm not saying that the Christian faith is all about suffering. Please, it's not all about suffering. Okay? But let it be part of you. Know it. So that you will not be asking the question, why? You are going through all those things because of your words, your faith. So that you will not be asking God, why me? I've been married now for many years, no child, nothing. Why me? I've been in the church for long, no husband, why me? I've been serving you all these years, there is nothing to show for it, why me? No, it is you have to understand, it's part of the faith that you have accepted. It is part of it. It is part. Suffering is part of the faith. It's part. So if you have that knowledge, it will keep you. It will keep you going. It's part of it. Suffering is part of the faith of the contenders. It's part of it. It is the faith that accepts the Bible as the only word, the only infallible rule in all matters of faith. That is the faith that we are called upon to contend for. It accepts the Bible. In fact, it is the faith that accept the Bible. It is the faith that stands on the Bible. It is the faith that always say amen to the word of God. That is the faith that we are called upon to what? To contend for. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 to 17. 2 Timothy, all scriptures is given by what? By the inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in what? In righteousness. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Amen. That's the faith that we are called upon to contend for. It's the faith that accepts the Bible as the only infallible, the only book that has no error in it. Isaiah 40 and verse 8. Isaiah 40 and verse 8. Let's look at it. Isaiah 40 and verse 8. Okay. The grass withereth, the flowers faded, but the word of our God shall what? Stand forever. Every other human being, they will fade away. The Pope is not the infallible one. The only infallible that we have is what? The word of God. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. It is the faith that gives us the hope of what? Eternal life. That's the faith that we are asked to contend for. It's the faith that gives us the hope. There is no other faith that can take you to heaven apart from the faith that is in Christ Jesus. The book of Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27. To whom God will make known what is the riches of his glory, of this mystery among the Gentiles, you and I, which is Christ in you, the hope of what? So it is Christ in you that is the hope of glory. That is the faith that we are asked to contend for. It's the faith that after contending for it, Christ will now give you the hope. Christ that is in you is now going to make you to see eternal life. Every other one that does not follow through, that does not follow Christ, can never have hope, can never get you to heaven. The only one that gives you hope of heaven is to believe in what? In the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. This is the faith we must defend, uphold, live by, and pass on faithfully. As we live by it and pass it on, the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Let's look at why contending for the faith. Why? Why must we contend for it? Why? Why must we contend for the faith? We need to contend for the faith because contending for it is to defend the truth of God's word. That is why we need to contend for it. It is to defend the truth of God's word. False teachers with their false doctrines, we are twisting the gospel and threatens to corrupt it. But the faithful stand towards to preserve it. In this generation that we are, many people are twisting the gospel. Many people have corrupted. They can divorce one wife and marry another one. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. But we are called upon to stand and to what? And to defend the truth of the word, of the gospel. That is the faith that we are called upon to what? To defend. Let's look at Jude 4 and 5. Jude 4 and 5. The faith that stands on the word of God. Jude 4 and 5. Okay? All right. Come. Wait. For there are certain men crept in on what? Unaware, who we are before of old, ordained to this what? Condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into what? Lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of what? Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believe not. So we are not to be like those who crept in, who entered into the gospel now because of what they are going to get. So they are the one that is twisting the gospel. They are the one that is corrupting the gospel. Who are they? They are people who we are not saved. They are people who don't even know who the Lord Jesus Christ is. They are the one that is corrupting the gospel. But the truth one, those who have believed in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we are called upon to stand and to defend it. And the Lord will give us the grace to do that to the end in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is number two. It is the faith that the world system opposes it. The system, the worldless system of today does not like the kind of faith that we are called upon to what? To defend. Let's look at James 4:4. James chapter 4 and verse 4. James chapter 4 and verse 4. Ye adulterers and what? Adulteresses. Know ye not that the friendship of this world is what? Is enmity with God. The faith we are called upon to what? To defend. The worldly system does not like it. They don't preach it. They don't like it. What you will hear majority of them saying is, God is a good God. Now, know ye not that the friendship of the world is what? Enmity with God. Whosoever, therefore, will be a friend of the world is what? Is the enemy of God. So because the worldly system hates that faith, that is why we are called upon to what? To defend it. And the Lord will help us to do that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at the third one. The third one. It is the faith that glorifies God. The faith we are called upon to defend is the faith that glorifies God in the sense that every other one does not glorify God except this particular faith that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the faith that glorifies God. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of what? Of God. Give none offense neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of what? Of God. Of God. So it is the faith that what? That glorifies God. We need to contend for it because it is the faith that glorifies God. It is the faith that secures our eternal reward. The reason why we need to contend for it is because there is a reward for it. There is a reward for this faith. If you can endure, if you can contend for it to the end, there is a reward for it. James chapter 1 and verse 12. Let's look at it. Let's look at it. Blessed is the man that endureth what? Temptation. You endure it because of this faith. When he is tried, he shall receive the crown of what? Of life, which the Lord has promised to them that what? That love him. There is a reward. Brethren, there is a reward for this faith. If you can faithfully contend for it to the end, there is a reward. Blessed is the man. Okay, I've gone through that. The Lord will help us to contend to the end in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to contend for it, in other words, because it will strengthen and encourage other believers to be steadfast in their faith and consecration to God. That is why we are called upon to contend for it. Because it will what? It will give encouragement to others. You are not the only one passing through it. There are other brethren somewhere passing through it, going through the same difficulties that you are going through. So for you to continue to what? To go through it, for you to continue to contend for it, you are giving another brother courage to continue in the same faith. Because of the love for Christ and the gospel, that is why we need to contend for it. We need to contend for the faith because of the love we have for Christ and the love for the word of God. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 to 17, please. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of what? Of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jews first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to what? To faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. That is the faith that we are asked to contend for. That we are asked to contend for. True contenders are not ashamed of the gospel or to declare their faith anywhere. For it is the power of God unto salvation. Contending, therefore, means standing firm, teaching sound doctrine, and living what? Righteously, no matter the cost. Please, it goes with a cost. This faith goes with a cost. It will cost you something. It will cost you something. Let's look at some of them. They face it. The book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 36 to 38. Some of them face it. They went through a lot. And others that contended for the faith. And others had what? Trials of what? Cruel mockings. Some we are mocked. And they are still mocking Christians up till now. And scourgings. They are still scourging. They are still beating till now. Yea, moreover, of bonds. Some we are in bond. And what? Imprisonments. They were stoned. They were sown asunder. Why are they suffering all of these things? Why? Because of their what? Because of their faith. They were tempted. They were slain with the what? With the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, and what? And tormented. Why? Because of their what? Of their faith, of whom the word was not worthy. It cost them something. It cost them. So that you will not be asking, why am I going through all these things? They went through hell. Of whom the word was not worthy. They wander in desert and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Verse 39. And this all, having obtained a good word, a report through what? Through faith. Receive not the what? The promise. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Let's move on and see the next thing that we need to know. Who are the faith contenders? Let's look briefly at who are these faith contenders. We're going to look at some few examples of faith contenders. And then we look at number one. Let's look at the book of Noah, who happened to be one of them. He went through his own type of persecution. Noah preached righteousness and obeyed God despite a corrupt generation. That is Noah. Example of one faith contender is Noah. Let's look at what the Bible says about him in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. And spare not the old world. If God did not spare the old world, this world, God is not sparing this world. If you look at the whole thing that is happening, you will see that the end is here. But save Noah, the eight persons, a preacher of what? How many preachers of righteousness do we have in our nation today? A preacher of what? Righteousness. Bringing in the flood upon the world of the what? Ungodly. This time around, he's not going to bring in flood. He's going to bring in what? Fire. So Noah was able to stand and to defend the faith to the end. And the rest of them that does not believe the kind of gospel that Noah was preaching, they were all destroyed with what? With fire. Abraham believed God's promises even when they seems to be what? Impossible. Yet he believed them. He believed the promises of God. Even when those promises seems to be what? Impossible. You can see that in Romans chapter 4 and verse 18 to 22. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of what? Many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And be not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through what? unbelief, but was strong in faith. The Lord will give us the courage to be strong in faith. Not minding whatever thing may come on our way, the Lord will make us to be strong in the faith. But was strong in faith, giving glory to what? To God. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to what? To perform. Whatever thing God has promised you, he will what? He will perform it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Let's look at another contender of the faith. Moses, he chose to suffer with God's people rather than to enjoy sin's pressure. Sin's pressure for what? For a season. That is what the Bible says. You look at Hebrews chapter 24, Hebrews 11. By faith, that is by revelation. Moses, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of what? Of Pharaoh's daughter. He refused it. Choosing rather to do what? To suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pressures of sin for a season. No matter the pressure they are enjoying, it's for a season. It's for a while. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures. This person, according to history, he was supposed to be the next Pharaoh after the man died. He was supposed to be the next king, but he refused. He refused it. How many of us? We are hearing of Christians today who are going down there. They are contesting. They want to be the king of their fatherland. This person refuses. Moses refuses to what? He left everything of Egypt, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures that are where in Egypt. For he had respect unto the what? Unto the recompense of the what? Of the reward. He's known by faith. He forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of who? Of the king. For he endured as seeing him who is what? Invisible. That is the faith. He has a revelation. There is something in him is moving him to do what he's doing. You look at Paul. Paul fought the good fight of faith. He endured persecution. He finished his words, his course. This morning, the Lord will give us the grace to finish well in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is one of the people that suffered. He went through a lot. Now, we look at the early Christians. The early church endured persecution from the religious world. The religious sects. Who are the people that persecute most? The religious ones. Who persecuted Abel? The religious one. Who are the ones persecuting the gospel today? They are the religious ones. They persecuted the early Christians. If you look at Acts chapter 5 from 40 to 42, we see that the early Christians, and to him, they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they beat them because of what? Why did they beat them? Faith. They commanded them that they should not speak in the name of who? Of Jesus. And let them go. After they are beating them, let's look at the slide. After they are beating them, the early Christians, they suffer. They are the people that we have to look at. Next. The Lord Jesus Christ himself, that is the author and the finisher of the world, of the faith. The ultimate example. He obeyed the Father unto what? He obeyed the Father unto what? Unto death. He obeyed till he was able to submit his life, and he died for us. He obeyed. That is the faith we are asked to contend for. That's the faith we are asked to contend for. This all stood firm. They preserved the truth, and they lived out their faith in a hostile world. They and many more, as revealed in the scriptures, are true contenders of the faith that we are called towards to contend for. Many of them are the contenders of what? Of faith. The Lord will give us the grace to contend to the end, like the apostles, like the Lord Jesus Christ, to the end in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. How to contend for the words? For the faith. If you are to contend for the faith, how do you go about it? Now we have seen the faith. We have seen examples of those who contended for it. Then, how do we contend for the faith? Romans chapter 1. We are to contend for the faith by defending biblical truth with scriptures, not with vain arguments and traditions of men. You are to contend for the faith by using the scriptures. How many of you, I know, have watched, what's it called? Rapture Watch. You have watched, ask your pastor. The man of God will come there, our daddy in the Lord. He will come there, and then people will call. Oh, it takes only the grace of God for you to be able to come to the air. You come open like that, and then people will be calling, asking you what? Questions. And what does he use in answering them? Does he use the tradition of men? He uses what? The Bible. And then you will hear some of them will say, yes, true. It is true that it is written in the Bible like that. But in our church, as if their church is more greater than the words, the Bible. We are to contend for the faith using the words, the scriptures, not the traditions of men. Contend by, and let's look at the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4 from verse 1 to 4. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his word, appearing and his kingdom. Preach the words. What are we to preach? The word. Be instant in season and out of season, whether it is convenient or inconvenient. Reproof, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and words. Doctrine. You are to reprove, you are to correct, you are to teach them, not with the philosophy of human being, not with the knowledge of Bible school. You are to teach people from where? The scriptures. The scriptures. For the time will come when they will not what? Endure sound doctrine. We are in that time now. People are no longer ready to endure what? Sound doctrine. But after their own loss, they shall heap to themselves what? Teachers. Having what? Itching ears. Everybody is looking for where they can go, where they will tell them what they want to what? Hear. But here in Bread Assembly, in fact, if you are here, you have come to a wrong place. We will not tell you what you want to hear. We will tell you what the Bible wants you, what the Lord wants you to what? To hear. And they shall turn away their ears from the words. They will turn away their ears from what? The truth. And shall be turned into fables. They want to hear what they want to. They will be comfortable hearing it doesn't matter gospel. If you go there now, some of them have finished this. Maybe they are about to finish the second service now. Because what is it? Come, dance, jump up, fall down under the anointing, pray your offering, go home. That's what they want. That's what they want. But here, we are different. We have men of God. We have a servant of God that God has raised to tell us the truth. And the Lord will hold him and hold us to the end in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Contend by exposing errors lovingly but firmly. You are to contend by what? You expose error. You expose it. If possible, call the name of the person that is involved. Oh, okay, let's see Galatians chapter 2, verse 11 to 13. If possible, call the person that is involved in that error. That's how to contend. A good contender will call the name of the person that is involved. Okay, but when Peter was come to Antioch, I restored him to the words, to the face, because he was to be what? Do you know who is talking there? Paul. Paul was talking about who? Peter. Did he hide his name? Do you know that Peter has been in the faith before Paul? Hey, if it were to be today, they will say, and daddy is always calling people's name. This is someone, an apostle. He was calling a man who has been in the faith before what? Oh, before what? He did not fear. So stop saying, why are you always calling him? Why are you always calling him? This is the answer to your question. But when Peter was come, for before that Satan came, from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. You see that? But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the what? Circumcision. Do you see why Paul withstood him? Before James came, Peter was eating with who? With the Gentiles. But the moment he heard that James was around, what did he do? Oh, he did what? Separated himself. And Peter had, and Paul heard about it. Paul will not what? Paul will not now say, he's a big man of God. He has been in the faith before me, so I will not call his name. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, in so much that Barnabas also was carried away with their words. That's another person. This is another person. Who is mentioning their name? Do you know that Barnabas has been in the faith before Paul? In fact, when Paul first gave his life to Christ and everyone was afraid of him, it was Barnabas that went everywhere looking for what? For him. But this same Barnabas was carried away with the same thing that Peter was doing. Paul will not hide his name. He mentioned his word, his name. He mentioned Paul. He mentioned Barnabas, that they were all involved in eating together with who? With the Gentiles. But the moment they heard that James and other apostles were around, they separated themselves. What are we bringing out? You are to expose those in error by calling their names. Call them. If you don't call them, people will not know who they are. Call them. So stop saying pastor is always calling names. He wasn't the first person to call name. Paul called many names. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. If you are happy with it, put your hands together for the Lord Jesus Christ. Bow down your head and tell God, give me the grace to stand to the end. Give me the grace to defend the faith to the end. Give me the grace. Help me, Lord, to be a true defender of the faith. Help me, Father. Put your mouth and pray. Lord Jesus Christ, help me to defend the faith to the end.
In Jesus' name, we have prayed. If you've been blessed by that teaching, can you put your hands together for the Lord? If I may add to what our beloved teacher just said, let me just add the scripture. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. Your faith is the most important thing. Your faith determines how far you go in Christ. In fact, it is by faith that you go to heaven. And the faith here is your revelation. And it is not yet faith until your revelation is producing actions. It says that the trial of your faith, every attack we face from the enemy of our soul, Satan, is against our faith. It says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. It says, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. As our pastor says regularly in this church, when Satan is attacking you, attacking your business, your marriage, attacking you with any form of oppression, you know, there are some people that will say, since I became a Christian, things got worse for me. The target is your faith. The truth is, if you are in Christ just because you want to be rich, you are in a very pitiable condition. Satan can give you money. Satan is the god of this present world. Sister, Satan can give you a husband. In fact, Satan can deliver you. That's the truth. And still yet you're under bondage. What Satan is after is that faith. Because that faith is what will take you to heaven. Are we together, brethren? So everything we go through, temptations, trials, difficulties, the target is our faith. The target is our faith. That is why the Bible says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. It says, when he's tried, he shall receive a crown of the Lord, for a crown from the Lord. So don't let anything affect your faith. And when we talk of faith, it must be true gospel apostolic faith. Satan is not afraid in you being religious. If you have been in this church long enough, you would have known that we always say that Satan's address is the church. That is why we don't believe people that will tell you Satan is in Bermuda Triangle, I served Satan. I was taught the rank. I went to cloud 999, cloud 6. Those things are fables. They are not true. Satan is actually in the church. He's religious. But the thing is, he does not want you to have true faith. Nothing stopped Cain from offering a sacrifice. So if you talk of religion, Satan is interested in religion. But when you talk of proper faith, he doesn't want you to have it. And that is why after the Lord Jesus founded his church, Satan's attack against the church began. So what we have today, true Bible apostolic faith, is more precious than gold. If you're a partaker of that faith, can you put your hands together for the Lord Jesus? And faith comes by what? Hearing the word of God. You can't have true faith if the word of God is not involved, because the source of true faith is the word of God. So what will Satan target? Satan will do everything for you not to receive the genuine word of God. So everything is after is your faith, your faith, your faith. Guard your faith. Guard your faith, because the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. Anybody that is truly serious about going to heaven, anyone that is truly serious about his salvation, must guard his faith diligently. And how do you guard it? By following the true word of God. Can we put our hands together for the Lord Jesus? Let's be on our feet.